Chapter 7. The Revolution. I have heard it said that mankind does not want freedom, that people are happy to be slaves as long as they are entertained and well-fed. I have likewise heard it said that most Americans have bought into the version of events that are given in the mainstream media and are perfectly content to be told what to think, what is good, what is bad, who is politically acceptable, who is politically unacceptable. I don't believe this for a second. For one thing, our own American Revolution would have been impossible if this mentality had prevailed. Contrary to what many Americans have been taught, a majority, not a minority, of the colonists supported the fight for liberty against Great Britain. John Adams is often misquoted as saying that 1/3 of Americans supported the Revolution, 1/3 opposed it, and 1/3 were indifferent. Historians have repeated this incorrect quotation time and again. Adams was, in fact, speaking of American support for the French Revolution. Historian William F. Marina has shown convincingly that a majority of Americans supported the American Revolution. The fact is, liberty is not given a fair chance in our society, neither in the media, nor in politics, nor, especially, in education. I have spoken to many young people during my career, some of whom had never heard my ideas before. But as soon as I explained the philosophy of liberty and told them a little American history in light of that philosophy, their eyes lit up. Here was something they'd never heard before, but something that was compelling and moving, and which appealed to their sense of idealism. Liberty had simply never been presented to them as a choice. We are engaged in a great battle of ideas, and the choices before us could not be clearer. I urge those who agree with this important message to educate themselves in the scholarship of liberty. Read the books I recommend in my reading list. Learn from the Mises Institute and Mises.org, the most heavily trafficked economics website in the world. Visit LouRockwell.com, an outstanding and crucially important website I visit every day. I have devoted this book to ideas that I consider important, if typically neglected, if our country is to restore its former self. How much of my program could be accomplished in a presidential term or in a decade or two, I do not know. But a bare minimum of what the successor to George W. Bush should seek to achieve, I suggest the following. First, we need to rethink what the role of government ought to be, and fast. If we continue to think of our government as the policeman of the world and as the great provider from cradle to grave, our problems will grow worse and worse, and our downward economic spiral, the first signs of which we are now witnessing, will only accelerate. The role of world policeman has made our country poorer and less safe. The welfare state, likewise, threatens our financial solvency and has caused the once robust institutions of civil society, which are no longer needed when government performs all functions, to atrophy. Right now, our government is borrowing $2.2 billion every day, mainly from China and Japan, to pay for our overseas empire. As our dollar continues to decline, thanks to Federal Reserve inflation, the American debt instruments that these countries are holding lose their value. We cannot expect these and other countries to hold on to them forever. And when they decide that they no longer wish to, our fantasy world comes crashing down on us. No more empire, no more pledging ever more trillions in new entitlements. Reality will set in, and it will be severe. Our present course, in short, is not sustainable. Recall the statistics. In order to meet our long-term entitlement obligations, we would need double-digit growth rates for 75 consecutive years. When was the last time we had double-digit growth for even 1 year? Our spendthrift ways are going to come to an end one way or another. Politicians won't even mention the issue, much less face up to it, since the collapse is likely to occur sometime beyond their typical 2 to 4 year time horizon. They hope and believe that the American people are too foolish, uninformed, and short-sighted to be concerned, and that they can be soothed with pleasant slogans and empty promises of more and more loot. To the contrary, More and more intelligent Americans are waking up to the reality of our situation every day. Now, we can face the problem like adults and transition our way out of a financially impossible situation gradually and with foresight, with due care for those who have been taught to rely on government assistance.